Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Yo, 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 what's up? Yo, yo, yo.
The motherfucking saga continues.
All hell no, I'm living in the real gangster shit. Cause when it comes to the real niggas, it makes the shit that much harder to deal with.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up. Bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Bless. Yeah. Yeah, 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 this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years to show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mo. Easy.
Chill. Just keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cuff Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
Shout out to the live show on Friday nights off the cuff radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music. What it is, what it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. And Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Let's go.
guns with drums on it. You gon' need some medical. Chill the fuck out, respect the locust, what you better do? All these bad bitches hear you niggas show, stir it up. Came for a good time, but we can quickly tear it up. I'm something like an all-star, nigga like a pair of chucks. I be with the, you already know that. Waistline heat, all black, call it Kodak. On my bullshit, 4-5, Mike throwback. We been in the field, playing ball like Bojack. Cut a op, no slap, hollow tip, hold that, hold that.
6 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet. All these hoes up in here, you running up on me. All these hitters around me, you gon' lose more than some teeth. 2 steps the fuck away from me. 6 feet, 50 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet, 100 feet. Don't ask me for shit, I'm only trusting me. Trust me. Run up if you want to, I'll stay with the, hold up.
Back the fuck up like Onyx, your Onyx is suck a dick. Like Busta, this a conglomerate, pocket full of blue strip. Accomplishing different shit, not responsible for your check. She down and go cross the street, she possibly could get hit. My motto is just get rich, the lotto's still on my list. I'm thirsty trying to get drunk, deep bottles for my crips. Acknowledge I'm on some shit. I'm on some shit. I know niggas talking white like Gotti, Jeezy, or Push. Before I put on Yeezy, they knew a genius was cooking. Overlooked like when they call your name, but you sleep in the bucket. Go against the grain, they treat you like you Kyrie in Brooklyn. He was tough the first time he seen a homie, that shit shook him. Innocence is such a gift, once that punani get tucked. Now I said it, black girl low, all black Porsche. All black. Niggas on the scene, if she can back up all that talk.
Back it up.
Some bite and some bark, you know we all had dogs. Right, give me six, give me six.
6 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet. All these hoes up in here, you running up on me. All these hitters around me, you gon' lose more than some teeth. 2 steps the fuck away from me. 6 feet, 50 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet, 100 feet. Don't ask me for shit, I'm only trusting me. Trust me. Run up if you want to, I'll stay with the, hold up.
All right, what it do? This your man, King Eric, the Media Assassin. You're now tuning in to episode 558 of Off the Cuff Radio, the best internet hip-hop radio show on the web. And this show is sponsored by Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Da Vinci Clothing, Core Financial, Sweet Fleetwood, and the Cotton Tickets. I got my co-host T-Max with the facts on the line. What's good?
Man, what it do, y'all? Another fresh Friday on the OT Frequency. Shout out also, of course, DJ Sincere, Dirty Basement Radio up in NYC, and our co-host Sincere, Ilana, Sandman, Lee Chinchilla. We are live and direct on Off the Cuff Radio. And tonight's show definitely is going to be one for the books because it's been a long time in the works, but we finally made it work. This artist we got tonight is definitely one of the trued up, blued up, real G's out on the Dub C West Coast, for those that don't know, representing it all on that excellent Ride or Die East Side. Two fingers twisted in the middle, always keeping it cooked up like griddles with his lyrical genius. The one, the only East Side K-Boy. What it do, man?
558.
What's happening?
What happened, man?
What's going?
What's good?
Man, happy to have you on.
Yes.
Pleasure.
Definitely, man. Like I said, it's been a long time coming, but we finally got you on, man. I mean, it's definitely something where, look, obviously, you know, you got more heat than two AKs with banana clips full of 50s on the double drum letting it rip on the rhyme shit, man. I mean, let's get it, man. I mean, you know, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from. We got a little bit of time. Let's go.
Well, I'm Eastside K-Boy. I'm from the east side of South Central, in a small part of the town called the Low Bottom East Side.
Okay.
Man, I've been doing music for a long time now. I started off with Glasses Malone and his Blue Division crew. That's how I got my first break and introduced into this whole rap shit. You know, G Malone discovered me. So, man, you know, I owe a lot to G Malone, his brother Pooh, which is my manager currently, and my old manager that I still do business with, Jazzy D, the OG Jazzy D. Man, I'm just a cool dude, man, from the city that's just trying to make a change in my city, do dope things within my community, and just, you know, just let my music speak for itself, man. I got to change the narrative about being the nigga from the inner city that's gang related. You feel me? They always think that we all ignorant and shit like that. So I'm just trying to change the narrative.
Man, definitely. And Watts Up, of course. You know, we've had Glasses Malone on a couple times. We've had Jazzy B on as well. For those that don't know, Sean Dell, a.k.a. Jazzy, you know, Rosa, you know, manages East Siders as well. So we connected in a lot of ways on the West Coast, man, staying clicked up, you know, like Cruz. One thing about your grind and what you said, East Side, it's very profound, definitely very insightful and uplifting because, you know, in your music and your craft, of which you've obviously excelled at, you've wanted to show everybody that you're more than the surroundings, you're more than the affiliations, and obviously that your acumen is beyond the scope of what others may try to box you in with. When you look at how you started, of course, you know, before you got with Glasses in terms of Blue Division, you know, but that's how that Watson, that's, you know, East Side Connect. Who are some of the influences coming into the game in terms of, you know, when you really want to take it seriously in terms of rhyming?
I always give a shout out to my my late uncle that's no longer with us. He actually taught me how to rap. His name was Ray Max, my mother's youngest brother. He actually taught me how to write 16 bars and how to structure a song and everything. So he was my biggest influence. I was looking up to him as a youngest. So if I wasn't looking up to him, I probably didn't want to rap. But when I started rapping, of course, my OGs, the whole West Side Connection, the Dog Pound, the Snoop Dogs, the E-40s, the Two Shorts, even in my teenage years, the 50 Cent, the Biggie and Pac, I love both of them. I like Big Pun. I like Fat Joe. I love Big L. Like, I'm just a child of hip-hop, period. You know what I mean? Even before 50, like, knocked him out, everybody was rocking with Murder, Inc. And if you wasn't, then you a lie. Because, nigga, that nigga Ja Rule had to start cracking for a long time. So, you know, good music is good music. Talib Kweli, like, I'm a fan of everything. Busta Rhymes is fucking incredible. The whole Virginia nigga Missy, Timbaland, Magoo. So I was influenced by, like, everybody. And I thought I was a Cash Money millionaire when I was young, nigga, and a No Limit soldier. So, man, the game, just being a part of hip-hop and just growing up listening to hip-hop, period, is just, I was influenced by everybody. Of course, my coach, but I was influenced by everybody, man. You know, Outkast, everybody. I just love music, period. And niggas don't know this about me, but, nigga, I probably know goddamn near every 90s R&B song. R&B is a motherfucker. I usually listen to R&B more than rap.
Hey, man, gotta have that balance. When you and let's pivot a little bit, like Shaq with a little bit of Dirk Nowitzki and Nikola Jokic in the paint in terms of how we, you know, change it up on the game. When you think about R&B, K-Boy, when you look at how it's changed, because obviously you just said you're a big fan of it. Where do you think it's happened in terms of how musically it has been marketed? Because we don't see singers in groups as much anymore as we do in the 90s. You know, in the 90s, we had Nothing Nice. You know, we had Luther Vandross, rest in peace. We had Nona Gay. Prince was still doing it. TCF crew. I don't want to name the standard fare because I want to give love to all the other acts that may have not been known, like Drama, 76, 69, of course. They were from L.A. too. YNV. I mean, where do you think it all changed at in terms of how the marketing came forward?
As far as R&B?
Yes, sir.
I think, honestly, just for me, looking at the game, I just think it's like no true R&B acts anymore. When I say true R&B acts, like the people like you named, they really mix it in with the rap, with the hip hop and R&B. They really mix it in. As you see that, a lot of people are doing like melodic raps. I even do that right now. So the untrained ear will call it singing, but it's just us rapping with a melodic cadence. That's all that is. So, I just think that R&B just really intertwined with hip-hop fully coming in, especially in today's music, which is dope. for, like, you don't got your New Editions or your Johnny Gills or the Group Next or Jagged Edge no more, shit like that. You don't really have that anymore. You got a few people that's trying to hold on to it because Eric Bellinger is one of my favorite right now. He's real dope. But, but as far as like a true R&B, no more Ushers and shit like that. So that's why we always got to go back and refer to the 90s and the early 2000s because that's really my generation of R&B music. So I just think that everybody's just intertwined with each other with this hip-hop, and everybody's doing it. If you look at it right now, the standard in music, like, they're not even calling it R&B. They calling these dudes that do melodic rap, that's calling themselves singers, rappers. So it's like they confusing it. You know what I mean? So I just think that they just really just combine the two fully, and that should just be a whole nother genre. And everybody's just doing that wave right now, and it seems like that wave is gonna continue to ride. I feel like the standard is if you don't do melodic rap, they don't really want to hear it. And if you don't do melodic rap, you either gotta do the traditional boom bap. You better be over there talking crazy like Rock Marciano out the East Coast, or either you doing melodic shit like the rest of the game, or you trying to bring back rapping on the West Coast. Like, it's really kind of like either those two. You know, drill rap and all that's the same, but they rapping though. So, but they just rapping to them different type of beats. So, I don't know, right, man. I just think that, you know, the group thing was dope with R&B. You know what I mean? Everybody want to be a solo artist was cool, but shit, if I could do it all over again, I started in a group. I would love to be back in a group. I hate the pressure of writing a full song by myself.
You know,
I think what happened with R&B is people found it that it's very challenging because you got to harmonize, you got to have certain notes, your voice box got to be legit. Like, even if you have a sore throat, it affects your vocal capability. Whereas with rapping, like, you know, you could rap like 50 Cent showed it. He rapped with a bullet in his jaw. He showed that you could still rap. But yeah, with singing, it takes hours and hours of practice, and I think a lot of these guys don't have that patience. So they figure, hey, let me go ahead to Fruity Loops. Let me go ahead and look at the simplest rapper and emulate him. And I can get a hit record real quick.
No, you're right. I agree.
Yeah, and when we think about it now,
yeah, it takes patience.
Yeah, it does. It really does. You know, like you said, the standard has changed in terms of how it's marketed. But, you know, we grew up in a time, and it's not to be necessarily, trying to be grumpy old men about it, although, you know, King and myself are from the older generation. But we just came from a time where, in how you got into the game, like, there was really an element of couldn't just nobody come in. And we're not trying to give a slight to anybody who's coming in the game now because everybody has their own talent. It shines. But when we're talking about singing back in the day, I mean, Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, you know, Mariah Carey, you know, Evelyn Champagne King, you know, so many others, you know, it was like you really had to have something. I mean, the Temptations, you know, the whole Motown sound. Shout out to Cocaine, of course, who's from that lineage. You know, it's definitely, it's broadened, I think, more than what we could have. When you look at it from your time as a group artist, Kay, and being in a group, how did you all mesh so well in terms of being a collective? Where sometimes in groups there can be, you know, drama, conflict, and contrast in terms of vision and musical abilities.
In the group, I think it's dope. And, you know, you do have creative clashes because everybody wants their opinion to be valued. And, you know, if when people don't do what, say, was a group of four people, these two may want to do something different than the others two. Or the one person, it might be three against one. And it's a lot of conflict. That's why a lot of groups you see don't last and they end up got to do a fucking reunion tour because they broke up. Because there's a lot of personalities. Mm-hmm. But I was in a duo, and my boy Ace was my balance because I was more so – he was a street nigga, but I was the gang member. So he was my balancing, so it wouldn't scare the average consumer or listener off. Like, I don't want to just hear this nigga talk about Crip shit a lot. Well, my nigga was just my balance. He was talking street shit too, so it was easy on the ear to hear both of us at one point in time, and we complimented each other. So, but you know, it was different. We was actually real friends. A lot of groups, niggas don't even be, you know, they get put together too. I think the dynamic of it don't be genuine, because a lot of these people, you would think, like B2K, y'all thought everybody thought in the world they was friends, they was put together. So a lot of that shit has to do with a lot of these things too, but it's just agreeing to disagree. People are very opinionated, and everybody has different opinions and what they think should go and what won't go. So I just think that's the conflict in the groups, and I always call it, because I used to feel like this, I call it the David Ruffin syndrome. Everybody want to be the star. And I used to have that syndrome
right.
One time in my life too. Like, nigga, ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. They came to see me. So
you say what you I feel was me? So, you say what I was thinking.
Nah, so I mean, life is like that, bro. Like, shit, you can be with your motherfucking significant other. Y'all not going to agree on everything. But with everything in life, you got to come to a medium. So I think if in the group you come to a medium, everything will be successful. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want to fuck up a chemistry, especially if we rocking and we winning and we getting all these accolades. I don't be understanding how groups could just fall apart and everybody get this ego that, oh, I'm the reason why the group popping. Yes, it's always going to be one person that stands out that's a true superstar. See, it's the difference between being a star and a superstar. Everybody don't have that superstar
right.
quality. But, nigga, we all stars. I ain't tripping. And we eating and we winning. I don't want to stop this winning streak. But most people feel like they could do it on their own when they realize, like, you can't do nothing without a team. Even a solo artist, you still need a dope team around you to help build the part that you are or that you're capable to be. You can't do it without a team. Nobody can do it by themselves. Niggas want to say they self-made and all that. That shit's dope. That shit sounds good. But nah, man. You got a team around it. So how could you be self-made if you got a team around you?
Yeah, the portancy of team, the team has to be basically the artist development now, because there is no artist development no more. So that's where the team got to come in. It got to be authentic artist development, you know?
No, facts, you're right.
And one thing about it too, Kay, that you stated in such emphatic and candid fashion is, you know, it takes a team to win. Also, in addition to piggyback off of what you said, it's always about, even if there's a star of the team, how he empowers everybody else. And that is what's defined as rest in peace to Nipsey, what he had with All Money In, you know, what he did with Jay Stone, you know, Pat Man, the Gunman, of course, had a hell of a, and if y'all listening, Mike and Keith, we still want you on the show too. We ain't forgot what he had with the Sonics with those guys. You know, I mean, to see, you know, Shooter, you know, Brian Hurst, baby, you know, that whole clique, you know, from the 6-0, you know, it's like, I mean, Nipsey put all of his people on, and, you know, everybody knew that he was a star, but you know what? It's like the 96 Bulls. They were the best team with the best record. Everybody knew Mike was the man, but they all knew their role. And when it was time for them to step up and shine, you know, like supernovas, they exploded onto it and let everybody know, like, hey, you know, we got this too. So what you said, you know, Kay, is beyond facts. You know, it's essential in terms of how you bring a collective together. And more than anything, that collective being able to capitalize on everybody's abilities, because everybody contributes to a team victory.
Absolutely right.
When you think about your trajectory of your career, you know, where you started, where you've been, where it was, how it's going, where you're going, tell us about the first time you really got serious writing rhymes, in terms of when you got into the studio, like when you put together your first song and thought, you know, hey, maybe I can do this.
Man, I really can't remember, but it just came at ease when I started doing songs and people actually start liking, like, oh, this is dope, or you got potential. And it became, like, easy for me putting words together and not sounding stupid. So
right.
Once I did that, and I had I got an A in English class. So when I realized I had a love for words and just making things rhyme, I felt like, okay, maybe this is really for me. And I was having fun doing it. But when other people, you know, really once other people motivate you and be like, no, you really could do this, that's when you be like, okay, cool. It's like they stamp you. It's like the stamp of approval, like, oh, no, you got potential. You really can do this, man. Keep pushing forward. Because if nobody's saying that you dope, I don't think a person gonna keep continue to pursue something that nobody gives them no type of praise. So when people kept telling me, like, oh, bro, you dope. Oh, you keep rapping, you're going to be good. That's when I was like, okay, this could be for me. But putting words together, it was easy. It seemed like it's hard at first because you'd be like, you want to make sense. But when that brain gets to working, bro, and it's just a God-given talent, it started becoming real easy.
Yeah. I remember watching, you know, the Unsung with E-40, and he talked about, you know, how, you know, him and his brother, you know, you know, of course, the whole clique, you know, D-Shot, B-Legit, you know, his sister, you know, Sugar T, you know, how they would just be reading the encyclopedia and everything and just how they would phrase it. But E-40 especially, and I'm a huge E-40 fan, still to me, he's in my top five just on originality alone. And, you know, it's about having that gift to where your grammar is the expression of the innate genius. Because like you said, Kay, everybody can, you know, rhyme words together, but to make it cohesive and fluid in a fashion that reaches the audience intended is not always easy, let alone the fact that you get people to really, really rock with your shit. Before you got to where you were, you know, and where you are now in terms of being known and having your name out there, was it hard having that stigma, you know, trying to break out the hood as, you know, some would say being a local artist, because everywhere we go in the hood, all over the country and the world, everybody's a local artist until they get out of it. What was it like for you in terms of really climbing those ranks to where you really found yourself, like, you know, really getting recognition outside of the immediate area, out of the bottoms, out of low bottoms, and, you know, moving forward?
You really have to travel. I know this shit sounds like so cliche. Everybody says,
yes,
you got to get out. You got to get out your own city, your own state. You got to go see the world, because
mm-hmm.
a stranger will support you quicker than your own people. So
you got to
get out. When I started traveling, and that's why I was blessed to be with G Malone in the beginning. Man, he was traveling a lot. I had opportunity to go with him. So, you know, I'm introduced as the little bro, the little homie that rapping. Got a chance to show what I could do. And other people from other walks of life and areas fuck with it. So I started doing songs with these people. Like, I remember I was doing songs with, they used to tell me that I can get a feature from anybody, and I used to use my features the wrong way. I remember Glasses used to fucking laugh. He used to be like, man, you the type of nigga that get a feature from anybody. You'll fucking put out a song with Jay-Z and Isaac Hayes, like, and K-Boy. Like, that shit don't even go together, because I could just get features because people just fuck with the person that I am. And when I started realizing,
right.
like, okay, let me use my features and my connections, my relationships the right way, I stopped just rushing to put somebody on a record because I can. I started really studying their music, studying mine, and putting it together. But I was doing this outside of L.A. I really recently started traveling again, more than I'm older, and seeing the significance of it. Like, you have to really get out of your comfort zone. If you don't, you're going to be stuck in. I mean, you know, shit, these old sayings really be right. You don't understand it until you get older. Like, you can't get new results doing the same old thing. So you got to do something different, at least travel. Like, and once you travel, you get to see more. You get to bump shoulders with people and shake hands and kiss babies. I think when you do that, it'll happen for you. But just being stuck will have you stuck at being a local artist. And you have to expand, like, with your whole music thing. Like, you can't keep talking about the same shit. But if you don't leave, and this is all you see is the same shit, so that shit starts becoming redundant. So, yeah, you got to leave, though. I give the advice to anybody, up and coming rapper, you got to leave, you got to travel. Even if it's just, nigga, 300 miles away, you got to get up out of your comfort zone. Because in the beginning, you think that everybody fucking with what you're doing because a small, low percentage of people rocking with you, you think it's so big, but the world's so big. Like, nah, man, this little dot that I thought was cracking right here and there on the east side, this ain't shit. Because once you start going out to other places, you realize they don't know who the fuck you are and they don't give a fuck about you. That's when you be like, okay, I got to get out a little more and my music has to travel a little further. Now, some people, that's fine with just being dope where they from. Like, the Bay niggas are the kings of that. And I don't knock them at all because you could be rich in the Bay. They
We know the story.
No other. You know what I mean? They independent hustlers like no other. Like, yeah, fuck around and go gold in the Bay.
Yeah.
So, nigga, and they own shit. But that's, it all depends on what type of artist you trying to be, what you want to be, where you trying to go. It just depends on the person, honestly. Realistically, some people are really in it to make a difference, change, be heard, be pillars in their community, show different things that they have accomplished to motivate other people where they from. Some people really do this shit for the dollar. Yes, the ultimate goal is to get paid for what you love to do because it is a job, but you can tell when a nigga just do it for a paycheck and just to get paid because they don't give a fuck. They really don't put no effort into none of the music they put out.
Right.
So if you're doing it like you big where you from and you making money, more power to you because that's what you're in it for, to get some money. So do what you got to do. But if you're really trying to make a change or make a statement or really be heard, you got to get out.
Now, in terms of what you said,
on top of that, we tell people, too, hey, I will say this, too. To build off of that, I think you also got to get off of social media as well because that's like – when niggas get them first week numbers back and they see that half the people following them ain't buying a record, they about to have a panic attack. So that shows you right there that these people, you can't really depend on social media like that because, you know, you've seen people that have millions and millions of followers only, and then go aluminum when an album drop.
Look, So it's like, I agree to disagree. Like, I agree. So we got to figure out how do we turn these Instagram followers, these Facebook followers, these TikTok followers into revenue, into real fans, into real supporters. It's a way to do it. I just haven't mastered it yet because everything is a number game. If I got 2 million followers, that's cool, but probably a third of that may support what I really do. The rest of the motherfuckers are just nosy. That's just the truth of the matter. But we want to turn the true supporters and the true fans into, because at the end of the day, like I said, we doing it, you know, to change our livelihood and to get paid. So we gotta put that small percentage and turn that into money. And I think that's what I'm about to start doing right now. I'm going to see out of these 50K followers, you know, if 500 will show up, if I just say, man, I'm a headline my own shit, man, I'm going to do this shit, will 500 people show up at the well-known Roxy, you know, Hollywood, California, that everybody does first when you're from L.A., you feel like you're making a little noise. You go test your strength at the Roxy, and if 500 people come, then you know you're on your way, then you move on up to the different venues. So we just gotta figure out how can we just turn that shit into currency, because at the end of the day, you have to depend on social media because niggas are not buying records. Like, there's no going to the store, the Best Buy or mom and pop store, standing in line and paying for your favorite rapper no more like how you pay for your favorite Jordan. So we have to depend on social media because that's the only outlet we have.
Right.
How you gonna know that's somebody true. Came out with something, bro, if you don't post it on social media? I'm not gonna know that Kendrick coming out with an album if nobody says it on social media. Because it ain't no commercials no more on BET. We don't even have the shit like how we used to. It's no more MTV Jams. There's no 106 Support, Rap City. It's none of these things that we watched and we was growing up to and conditioned to be like, okay,
Oh, what? April 30th? Oh, yeah, that's when the new Kendrick record is coming out. Cool. I see that commercial ran after all these video programs on these channels. It's not like that no more. We got to go straight to the internet. We got to open up our phone, go to somebody's Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, or YouTube to figure out what's going on. So we have to depend on social media. We just got to learn how to fucking master it and utilize it to our best ability. Because it's niggas that's doing that, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's making a killing.
Definitely.
On social media.
Yeah. Like you said, Kay, the metrics have changed in terms of advertising. When we look at album releases and everything, not everybody, there's only maybe a handful of artists that can drop an album without a pre-mentioned release. Beyonce did it twice and killed it on both sides of it. Rihanna, she decided she was going to drop in that surprise album tomorrow. That shit is going to just blow out the water. Jay-Z was going to do it. It's going to blow out. Hell, if Nas was to do
those
it,
are
it's going to be.
Those are different type of people. You can't even compare them. Like, but
right. And I was just
niggas like me, like what I'm doing right now, even like my homeboy Dave East, like we have to let you guys know when our album is coming.
Right.
Like Dave East is doing a promo run on his social media right now, letting us know that he about to drop his second Def Jam studio album. Without that,
yeah,
we would never know because we haven't got to the status that we would like to be where we could just drop something tomorrow and it goes crazy.
Right. Now, you and Dave have worked together before. Oh. Well, go ahead. No, go ahead, Kay. Finish it up.
No,
I didn't want to.
I honestly forgot. I was just going to say those type of people still have people like still going to check for them regardless every day hoping
that
when they go to Apple Music and they press Kendrick, that's something new is right there.
Right.
Or like Jay-Z or Rihanna, like those are different people. And J. Cole, it was different type of ball players right there. But what you about to say about
right.
Dave?
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, because you've done music with Dave as well. How did you all meet in terms of it, in terms of what was it like when y'all first clicked up and when y'all, because like it goes back to what you said earlier about collaborations and making sure they make sense. Because we see, and obviously this wasn't the case with you and Dave because the chemistry y'all have is just unbelievable. But not everybody in terms of when they come together on collabs or even, you know, albums, it sometimes makes sense. How did you and him come together and know that musically you all were great to, because also too, when you said also real about traveling, you also did a track with Billy B out on New York as well. Tell us about all that.
Yeah, well, So this goes to answer my, well, like really to go back on my man's shit and talk about not worried about social media. Social media, it can be a gift, and you're right, it can be a curse. So the power of social media is, I'll tell you about Billy first. You know, Billy is Crip affiliated. So
right.
I see her on one of my niggas' pages like, oh man, it's a hard-ass Crip female, but she from Brooklyn. So that gets my attention. Oh, shit, Billy, she fine as a motherfucker, too. So women win when they're attractive as well. I'm like, oh, shit, she cripping and she fine. So I immediately go follow her. And when I follow her, I'm like, oh, no, she really get cracking. I'm like, okay. So when I follow her, you know, we start building a relationship through social media because a lot of her homies fuck with me because I'm Crip affiliated and I'm from the motherland of gangbanging. So they like, nah, you need to deal with him. So when we finally meet up, she comes to LA. She moves to LA just for like some months because like I said, you gotta get up out your shit. She felt like how I was feeling. Niggas is hating on her. Bitches hating on her. They sleeping on her in New York. Man, I'm finna just come to LA and tap into this LA market. I'm tripping anyway. So she did that. We linked up. We did a song. We actually did the video and everything. And now we got a hell of a real friendship now. But that was due to the power of social media in a good way. So
right. That's
how me and Billy connected. But with Dave, Dave, you know, he represents this hood called Harlem 30 Crip, which is originated in L.A., and he comes to the motherland, and he comes deal with the people out here. Ironically, that gang of my gang our brotherhood. We're clicked up. So I went to the studio. He was down here. My homegirl, Crippy Long Stockings, that's from that neighborhood, and my homeboy, that's from that neighborhood as well, my nigga Drew, they linked it up. They said, hey, K-Boy, Dave is in town. He has the studio. I know how to play my position. I went to the studio twice without being able to play something, just to build the relationship, you know, talk to him, chop it up with him, you know. Niggas, you know, tell them the history about our two gangs and how we clicked up and how we cool and all that. Of course, you know, when you're not a native to something, you want to learn the information. So
right.
Talking to him. So about a third time, the homie Drew said, hey, yo, Dave, let K play you some shit. He like, oh, yeah, for sure. I played him one record. I still got that video on my phone to this day. I played one record. I remixed one of the L.A. artists that's out here cracking named Joe Moses. I remixed one of his songs.
Five
freestyle.
Oh, man, yes.
I redid his shit called Really Out Here. Mm-hmm. And I did the freestyle to it. And Dave went bananas. Right after that, he played the beat and was like, can you hop on that? We've been tight ever since.
Man, that's what it is, man. Shout out to Joe Moses representing 5-4-VNG, man. We know about Joe, too. Yeah, man. So, you know, when you think about it, and we want to get it from somebody who's really from the soil, who really make it boil, repping True Blue, because there's been a lot of, you know, questions, a lot of misconceptions, and just we want to clear it up. When you look at, of course, banging really, you know, as we know it, you know, Bloods and Crips and Power Roots originating on the West Coast, but then it branching off in the 90s, you know, of course, that's another story for another day, of course, with OG Mac, who started, you know, Blood Nation in New York, but yet it's still, of course, Crips came out there as well, started to what is the relationship that you all have out there with them and vice versa? Because there have been questions about is there recognition as equals, or some would say they just have their own thing and they're not really with us.
With who?
You're an authority on this. You know, please, tell us.
No, with who? I missed it. I couldn't hear that part. With who?
In terms of New York, you know, how do L.A. sets recognize New York sets in terms of Bloods and Crips, in terms of equals?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, every fucking state, city has a gang that originated from Los Angeles anyway.
Right,
so,
right.
To me, bro, me personally, this is me. I learned my lesson by doing a lot of traveling and letting people just do what they do, because everybody does things differently. So I went to Flint, Michigan for a family reunion. And seen some niggas outside, looked like they was flagging. They had their red rag in their left pocket. And I called myself going to check these niggas. I happen to be Vice Lord. So I'm telling these niggas, like, hey, bro, you niggas Bloods or something out here? Like, I'm from California, my nigga. I'm a Crip from L.A. Like, bro, you cannot wear that rag. You disrespecting the whole code of gangbanging. Them niggas looked at me like, boy, we would kill you out here. We don't give a fuck about what y'all got going on. We don't care what you got going on. Oh, yeah, you from L.A.? Yeah, that's all good. But, nigga, I'm from Wolfie Wolf, Flint, Michigan, Vice Lord Wolf. And, nigga, we'll have you in that trash can. And I politely and gladly was like, you know what, you're right. I am a long way from home. That right there let me know, like, okay, you cannot go on another man's soil and think that you could tell him what to do. Now, maybe if I came at them a different way, because it's all about, you know, how you come at a person. It's all about the delivery. My shit was really forceful, like, nigga, from L.A., cuz, like, nigga, what's up with you, nigga? You can't do that, because I probably wouldn't be having a conversation with y'all. You feel me?
Right.
Y'all wouldn't even know who the fuck I was. So I said, okay, so when I went to New York, it's a lot of things that would not go down in Los Angeles. All I do is feed the information, but tell them, hey, do as you please. Just do not bring that same politic when you come visit the motherland, because it's not going to stand out here.
Right, right,
That's all I do. Like, people don't know that when Nip did I'm Not the Rap Niggas, like, there was a lot of A-Trey gangsters in that video from New York because he was in Brooklyn.
Okay, mm-hmm.
But that shit would never go. I would never say never, but at this present time, if it ain't on no real, like, okay, we really stop the bullshit in L.A., you're not going to see a video like that, bro. No, it's just not going to happen because the politics are different out here. Like, I wanted to go to Brownsville so bad just to see the Bloods and the Crips together. I didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm. But
so,
it's, like you said,
the politics
yeah.
are very different.
Yeah. For those, you know, like you said, in L.A. in terms of what it is for the 60s and the A-Trays, for those who don't know that history, King and myself know it in terms of how that whole situation went down. We're not going to say it on air. You know, that's information for those that study, but we know how that whole thing went down, especially with the fact that they used to be, you know, allies and then they became, you know, rivals. But in New York, you know, like you said, it is kind of different, you know, because a lot of those crews, they just rep like certain sets, but a lot of them, they get along with each other. You know, they really.
I have an hour.
Yeah, they really do get along with each other out there. You know, there's not really an issue. When you see how it is today, Kay, and this has really been going on for the past few years in terms of how you see a lot of people false flagging, really trying to claim it. You're from it, and you've been around people from all over the country who were really from it. It seems like this has been treated now in terms of banging as more of a fad than actually really being a culture, something that you're really born from, that you're raised in, and that you really understand intimately and intricately. What are your feelings on it's become more stylized rather than having real substance with some people who claim to really be, you know, from the set?
I would tell these people that this is not a fad. This is real life. A lot of people are in jail for life for these things. A lot of people have lost a lot of loved ones from these things. A lot of people have a lot of war wounds from these things. I'm actually a person that dealt with all three of those things that I just, you know, named. You know, I got close friends during life. I lost my brother to shit. And
rest in peace.
And then I got shot up for this shit. So this is not a fad. It's not a joke. It's not a game. This is nothing that you want to do because you want to be cool. And I know a lot of niggas do this in the music industry right now because it's fashionable, putting on a red rag or a blue rag and tying it around your head and being outside and tying it around your gun. But niggas really live and die for those colors. So,
right.
And for the street and the hood that they represent. You know, and it's a lot of, you know, but it's a lot of love in it as well because a lot of people that's from the same gang grew up with each other. We know each other's mothers and fathers and grannies and aunties and all that type of thing. So this is just not a game, though. It's not a game. It's like really, this is some real shit that you need to think twice about even thinking about doing. I encourage the young people, don't even get involved with this shit because I tell a nigga like this, we all are American citizens, right, when we're born, out here. You lose your citizenship
right.
when you become a gangbanger. You're not a citizen anymore. You considered a gangbanger. So now you got to go by a whole different set of rules than what you would do if you're just a regular citizen. That's what we call people like that on gangbang. Well, I like to call them squares no more, non-affiliated. Like, oh, that's, my nigga's a civilian. You're not a civilian anymore. You're a gangbanger, and now you got to live by these codes that when you get a little older, you're like, damn, I don't want to listen to this type of shit. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm doing this, but you already in it now, and it ain't no getting out of it. I mean, I tell niggas, you can get put off, but who wants to get put off a gang? They're going to treat you like you was never a part of it when you get put off.
Yeah,
so you might as well
that part.
You might as well just evolve and elevate and pray to God that you got like-minded people that's from the same neighborhood as you that see your growth and respect your growth and salute your growth and you can move on.
like me. Like, I don't have to go through those things. I don't have those problems. But I still go by a code, though, because I can't do certain things without me thinking about the backlash or the repercussion if I do a certain thing that I know that is not fitting to the gang that I claim. And as a man, you like, nigga, I want to do this. But as a gang member, you like, but if I do this, is it worth my life? Is it worth somebody doing something to my family? Is it worth the nigga disowning me? And when I need help, if something happened, a nigga just turned the other cheek. But I made that decision, and I have to live with that. Because I'm not a regular citizen anymore. I don't give a fuck how evolved that I am. I'm still from where I'm from. So I tell a motherfucker, don't even get involved in this shit.
When you look at it in terms of how you know how you came up in that culture, Kay, but obviously you've evolved and transitioned into something that is definitely what you enjoy. Of course, with your blue brothers and sisters as well. I mean, to see all this like Cop Pistol Creed, to see, of course, G. Perico representing Broadway Gangsta, you know, with his Soul Way Out, the Enterprise, of course, T&P Nice, Long Beach 20s, of course, with Super Young representing, you know, Family Exotics, you know, Muddy
yeah,
Boy
Nice
Nell,
is from Baby Insane, though.
Come again?
P. Nice is from Baby Insane. You got to clear that up. P. Nice from Baby Insane.
Understood, understood. Thank you for the clarification. Baby Insane, thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah, but, I mean, what are they doing out at Long Beach? I mean, and just seeing how all of you have really made it a point to just really, like, take that to the next level musically and legitimize it. How good does it feel to know that you still maintained your code, your ethics, and everything, and have still been able, with that authenticity, been able to articulate your feelings through art that has been able to reach so many people?
Man, I know I can maintain it because I move with a certain level of integrity and dignity and respect. So you got to move like that. And you're going to feel all right about yourself. You're going to be able to look in the mirror and be all right. So that's how I move. So I feel good about it because I just know the level of integrity I walk with in these streets.
And, I mean, just the whole California, that young California movement of which you are a part of. I mean, with the aforementioned, of course, we got Cam and China and Inglewood. Of course, we got Larry June. You know, we got Honest Alone, you know. You know, we got Compton AB. We got AD. You know what I'm saying? You know, even – and it's not
it's a
just
wide gap.
Yeah, you know, I mean, even with Steve
it's wide. It's a very wide gap, and it's a wide, very wide gap in what's impressive about how they're doing it. It used to be a time where – you had to either be stamped by Dre, you had to be stamped by Cube, or stamped by Snoop. Mm-hmm. These guys are now the new West Wave. They're doing it on their own. They're doing it their own way. And they're creating their own way.
No, most definitely. And like I said, that goes back to what you were saying again, bro. You need social media. You need the internet. Because we did used to have to get stamped by them.
Absolutely.
Nobody have to get stamped by anybody anymore because you could go viral overnight. So why need your stamp of approval if I just went viral over here and these millions of people are watching and viewing my video? Fuck your approval because I just did this on my own. So that's where
like
the internet
exactly.
plays a valuable, valuable part again. I'm still trying to learn this shit, gang. Because as soon as I learn this shit the right way, over for the
like,
yeah, I think what it is,
we gotta learn
to take advantage of the positives too, because everything has a pros and a cons, and we gotta use it for the good part. The good part.
No, you're right. Everything in life has pros and cons, bro. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, the one thing about social media, you know, Kay, you know, King started off the Cuff Radio 9 years ago. I've been with, you know, the team for the past 6. And through social media, we have been able to connect with so many people. You know, you and me have been
IG, you know, friends, you know, for a couple of years now, you know, and I've, you know, always supported you, you know, all the way out here in Virginia, you know, once King, you know, got hit to what your movement was, you know, he's been a staunch supporter, you know, so we're happy, you know, for you to be another chapter in what we've been doing on Off the Cuff, you know, because that's what our mission on this show to where you're trying to still navigate it. We want to be one of those people that, you know, you can have a rest stop in terms of you can come on our platform and, you know, tell everybody about you. You know, you're just as dope as anybody out there. We know you got a real story to tell the world. We want to be the ones where you can sit down with us and tell your story to the world.
Well, I appreciate it. This is a, you know, I love it, especially people that's not from out here. So, you know, while they rocking with me in Virginia, places like that, that shit is like, I love it. I'm appreciative, like, for real, for real. Like, for y'all to even know about me and the culture that I come from is like, I like that.
What's it been like in terms of you doing the internet tours in terms of, you know, doing interviews with, you know, people? And like you said, you can't necessarily do features with everybody. So we know you're very, very meticulous about the outlets to which you choose to do interviews with. Tell us about when your press runs come or just when people come to you. How important is it for artists? Because there's a certain guy out there who everybody, you know, kind of has suspicions of about how, you know, his interviews kind of look like interrogations, but yet everybody wants to go on his show. yeah, please. You know, go ahead with it.
Say that one more time, bro. The phone that and went out. I just heard
it's
you
okay.
laughing. I was damn, I missed it.
Yeah, about how, you know, how important is it for everybody to know the media outlets that they go on? Just like you were saying earlier about sometimes every collaboration, you have to make sure it makes sense. You got to make sure the interviews you do with certain outlets make sense. I was saying about how there's a certain guy out there who his interviews can be like interrogations, but everybody still wants to go on his show, though, because he's got, and, you know, the perception of being the number one joint out there that everybody wants to be on.
No, right. What I do is I go on everybody's platform except a nigga like that misuses the culture, because I'm not going to call people culture vultures, because I feel like that's so ignorant. I actually learned this from one of my big homies, culture for everybody. Like, I wasn't born a Muslim, but if I want to be a Muslim, that culture is there for me to become one, or Christianity or Buddhism or if a vegan, even to that matter, or a pescatarian, like, this is culture. So I want to join hip-hop, and I wasn't born into it or raised on it just because I like it. Culture is there for everybody. So I think when we say culture vulture, I think we're being very ignorant, because culture is for everybody. But I just feel like when people misuse it, that's when we should have a problem. And I think, oh, boy, misuses. I won't even, like, you know, say his name, but he misuses it a lot. But other than that, to really go back to the question at hand, I really deal with everybody's podcast, because I feel like no matter how big you are, how small you are, how medium you are, that's just another fan base that I can tap into in a different market I can tap into. And for anybody that want to sit down and speak with me, it's a blessing. I don't, like I said, I don't care how small you are to how big you are. So I take on any platform, because you never know which one is going to be the best that gets you over the hump or let the world see you in the light that you want them to see you in. So I go to every fucking thing. That's why I tapped in with y'all. I like what y'all doing. I like that y'all in tune with everything in the culture, not just West Coast, just across the board. I fuck with that. So hell yeah, I was going to do this interview.
Man, we fuck with you heavy for that, man, because the way you break it down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the way you broke that down about culture that's for everybody, we've never heard that articulated in such an academic and scholastic fashion. That was deep what you just said. That was really deep. You know, we've never heard anybody break it down like that before. That's real, though. That's real. We've done a lot of interviews, and we watch a lot of interviews. We've never heard anybody break it down like that before. Yeah, we're going to have to think about that one.
Plus, because I think it also, too, the, not to mention, and that, you know, in the build on that breakdown, is also the fact that culture is considered like a buzzword now. It don't really have,
and
the people that's partaking into it, it's like they don't have, don't really have no integrity in maintaining it. They just want to profit off of it. So anytime when people use culture, it's like it ain't nothing but a trendy buzzword. There's really no, nothing to fulfill behind it right now. Like y'all just sat there and purging it. Let it purge.
Yeah. When you think about it too, K, when you, and one thing about it, what you said, because that means a lot to us, for the fact of, you know, what we've been blessed to do with this, even if we're not necessarily the biggest outlet, we've been able to do some big things, and that's one thing we've always said on this show, you know, guests, no guests too big, no guests too small. And we always are going to try to represent culture in the most comprehensive and consummate fashion of professionalism, integrity, and respect, you know, whether it's a legendary artist or an up-and-comer. We want everybody to come on and feel comfortable. Full disclosure, we've had a lot of people say no to us because they thought we weren't big enough. You know, we've had people say, you know, well, y'all not, you know, seen, you know, what are your, you know, numbers, you know, or, you know, do you have, do you do it? But it's like, people got to understand, you know, you got to start from where you're at. And if you do it well enough and you're respectful enough, you become respected. And you never know who you're going to meet on a journey along with it. When you look at it from your musical journey, Kay, and you're still doing great things with it, how has it been for you in terms of the independent level, in terms of having that freedom? Has it been a goal for you to get on with a major, or you're pretty much liking the freedom that you have being able to move as a sovereign artist, you know, working as you please?
Most dudes get on these motherfucking platforms and lie, bro. Everybody wants to be a major artist. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the picture they're trying to paint. If you ever notice, things go like this. Start off indie, but then you can all, but you can only do so much without the fucking machine. Then you go to the machine, you know, they blow you up out the water, you become this megastar, this superstar, even just a star, period, and then you learn, right? It's pros and cons, like I said. Then you know that, oh, damn, we shouldn't have probably took that deal or gave that much publishing up, or, oh, shit, we needed that. Then you learn it. Then you go back to being indie again because you learned all the game, and it's like they blew you up already. So that's what I tell people. Like, I seen this interview before with Yo Gotti, and he made so much sense. He like, niggas act like they want to be independent, right, and talk all this independency, but niggas don't have the money to be independent. You got to do everything yourself. He said most niggas won't even spend money on themselves. Yeah, he was like, okay, if you had $2 million, would you put $1 million into your motherfucking career? Most niggas be like, yeah, nigga, I would. No, the fuck you wouldn't. Yeah, you go buy your car and chains and all that type of shit, but when you look at it, no, you not. That's a meal ticket.
Right.
You'll put $1 million in your career and don't lose any sleep? Nah, most niggas won't. A lot of people will, but that's the difference between them. But most won't. And when I heard that interview, I was like, yeah, you right, bro. Like, don't let these niggas fool you. Independency is dope if you got the money to be independent. A lot of these independent niggas who love to be independent are D-boys. I ain't getting no money off the block. So, you know, and then, and you know, everybody knows that damn near every black label was funded by some type of street money. That's like, that's no telling, there ain't no snitching, that's no nothing. That's just fucking logical common sense.
Right, we know it.
Oh, man, my mom left me this money, man, and I'm putting it in there. No. Most people getting it off the block.
And, you know, that's real talk. And it's not even snitching or nothing, because the fact is a lot of these niggas started because that's the intention to go legitimate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we know the stories with Gucci, Jeezy, you know, a lot of people, you know,
yep.
that was that money, you know, that they was in the street. And it's not, you know, help tattletaling, because they'll tell you that they were in the street. We know they was in the street, you know. So it's not something that nobody knows. You know, you're just hoping that you're able to move it in a fashion where your music allows you to enterprise on a legal level as opposed to something, you know, that wasn't legal before. You said about Yo Gotti. You know, Yo Gotti, people forget that when he had his deal with CVT back in the day and he didn't like it, this nigga spent $250,000 to buy himself out of his contract. Now, to me, that's still something to think about. He spent 250 racks on a contract he didn't like to get himself out of it. That's boss right there.
Facts. A lot of niggas can't do that, gang. So I respect him to the fullest. And he put paper in his artist's pocket. It's not just about the money. He teaches them how to be bosses. And he represents every artist on, like, he represents all their own movement. He makes them like, no, they bosses. Yeah, they signed to me. They also got their own shit going on, and they got freedom to do what they want to do. Mozzie got the Mozzie. Moneybag, he got his shit.
Yeah.
No. Everybody underneath CMG, but they all got their own entities, and Yo Gotti allowed them to do what they need to do. Man, we will be talking for 19 hours, and if anybody's listening, I would hate to do this, but I just look at the time, and I have to go to this writer camp. I got to be there at 8. But
okay.
But at the end of the conversation is great. I would love to even finish it and do another interview soon, because
nigga,
I will be having some big news coming real soon. You feel
hey,
me? And
man,
I would love
word, man.
And I would love to let y'all know what the big news is real soon. So I want to talk to my kings again, man. It's just I don't want to be on CP time.
Absolutely.
Man, look, Kit. Hey, boy, you are welcome back anytime, nigga. Say less. You know how to reach us whenever you are ready to come back on, you know, on gang, man. All fees up. We would love to have you. Look, anybody else from the set, you know to do music all over, man. We would love to have them on as well. Tell everybody out there, man, you know, Off the Cuff Radio, we fuck with y'all out there, man.
We really
appreciate this. Thank you.
Man, that's all love. I'll make sure I do that. I'll have my little homies come fuck with y'all, man. But look. God bless y'all, brothers. I appreciate it. You already know everything is to the left. We're going to stay seated up and prayed up at the same time. Moving just like that. I'm gone, y'all. Have a good one.
Peace.
All right, bro.
Do what it do, man. What's up? King, my brother, take us out of here.
On that note, we up out. Episode 5558 is on the books. Catch us next Tuesday for 559. Same Off the Cuff Radio time, Off the Cuff Radio channel. Dig it.
Peace, y'all. One. Out.